You again. Since revival, we haven't seen the overflow crowd, and neither have we seen a bunch of people saved. But I've seen God working in my heart and some other hearts and bringing back the new again and helping us get closer. Amen. Aren't you glad that God's still working in our hearts doing that? And he's still in the saving business. And Brother Letford said, I rejoiced to hear that Saturday, led somebody to Jesus, and our heart's desire is to hear that over and over again from all of us, that somebody got saved or somebody came to church with us. Somebody here tonight lost without God need to get saved. And what a blessed privilege it is to be in the house of God, hear the word of God, and thank God for his blessings and goodness to us. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. Really just want to read that verse for a springboard, and we'll be going to a couple other places in the Bible for what I want to give to you tonight. God's laid on my heart. I pray God make it real to us and help us. He knows what we need tonight. Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 11. Let's stand, please. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. He's saying those words fitly spoken are beautiful, wonderful. And they're like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, God, that the children are in church. Thank you tonight, God, that we can sing about and think about bringing back the new. We've sung and thought about how good God is and how you've been good to us when we wasn't where we should be with you. You're still good to us. Father, I thank you for your love, goodness, and mercy shown upon us. And Father, today, thank you for your blessings. This night, we come in Jesus' name asking for a divine touch. I pray the Holy Ghost, God would move upon us, illuminate our minds, loose our tongue. I pray you'd help us tonight to preach in such a way that would please you and bring glory unto you, and that men and women, boys and girls may see their need of being born in the family of God. Then I pray, Father, you'd help us that are saved, that we may rejoice in that salvation that you gave to us so freely. Lord, what you have in store for us and how we anticipate that. And we thank you and praise you that's better than diamonds of acres and acres of diamonds and gold and silver and all the rest of it. But Lord, help us tonight to think about some words that were spoken that are blessing, and help us, God, to take heed to them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I about forget where's acres of diamonds of acres or what. Just praise God, it's something, amen. What I want to preach tonight and share with you, and you can be turning to Genesis chapter number 2, if you would please. I want to share with you tonight first and last words. And I'm talking about the first words the Lord said to man, and the first words man said to God, the last word God says to man, and the last word man says to God. And I believe that we can see some truths here that would help us tonight, and pray that God would touch us to preach it. And you open your heart to receive it and pray for us while we preach. We appreciate that so very, very much. In Genesis chapter number 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now I realize this is not the first time God spoke, and I want to back up to chapter 1 in verse number 3, and God said, let there be. God said throughout chapter 1, let there be, and there was. But back in chapter 1, you'll find that God's, in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. Image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I just wanted to read that because I wanted you to know how he created them. Created them male and female. I thought I'd plug that in while I run by it. Amen. And that's the way God meant for it to be. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replant. Hey, our people around here, we're multiplying. These babies coming all the time. That's what God said here. He said, to them be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Then he starts talking about the beasts and how he give them the fruit for meat and so forth, the green herb for meat. And he saw it was all very good in verse 31. But now chapter 2. Now in chapter 1, he doesn't mention anything about not eating that tree. He tells them he supplied some need for them. But look in chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And so in chapter 1, now chapter 2, he's going to review this and go through this. Look at verse number 6. I went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Hadn't rained. The flood hadn't come at that time. And mist came up out of the ground and watered it. Look in verse number 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God grow every tree that is pleasant for the to the sight and good for food. The tree of also is in the tree of life is also in the midst of the garden. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said right in the midst of that garden. I never had really paid much attention to this. They're both there. I understand that. But he said in the midst of that garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Undoubtedly, they were close together. They were in the midst of the garden together. So they had to be somewhat close together. And there they were and had right to all of it. And of course, the devil deceived Eve and brought her to that tree of knowledge of good and evil. You say, preacher, what, you believe that was the apple tree? You believe this is that? I don't know. God doesn't say. What is really important is God said, thou shalt not. What's really important is God said, I'll provide for you ever the rest of it. You can help yourself to it. You can have it. And so he's speaking to man now. He created man. And by the way, let me plug this in. God created man, has every right under heaven to tell man what to do and what not to do. Is that not true? I mean, if you made something, you have the right to do what you want to do with it, as long as you don't infringe on somebody else's rights. But God created everything so he couldn't infringe on anybody else's rights because nobody else has any rights. Amen. And he has the right to do whatever he wants to, and he does it. And so we see that here in the scripture. And here he's created man out of the dust of the earth. And I want you to know that we were not evolved, and we did not come from monkey nor ape nor something else. God created man in his own image, created he him, them. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God made male and female. I believe that God created man in such a way they could procreate and that people could be born and brought into the world and the world could have people in it. God, that was God's purpose for putting man here, that they might do that also, might have fellowship with him, worship him by choice, by choice. If man did not have a choice, he would be like a puppet on a string. And it wouldn't give God any glory. God be pulling the strings. But I'm glad, hallelujah, it's a whosoever will gospel. It's a whosoever will. And God made man with that free choice. They might choose what to do. And he set boundaries, but he told them what he wanted them to do, gave them instruction. But I want you to notice this. God's first words to man will sum it up here in verse 16 and 17 of chapter number 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He said, you got everything there. God provides for his own. God put everything there they needed. Can you imagine being in paradise? Can you imagine being in a garden that God had made and no sin had entered in? And you and your wife was living there in perfect harmony. Everything was right. Animals right. And sometimes I have a picture hanging in my office of a lion, a little lamb laying right down in front of it. One day it's going to be back like that. It's going to come again, but Jesus must come first and tribulation and all that. But I'm telling you, it's going to come again. But in that day, the lions undoubtedly laid down with the lambs and they was eating green herbs and there was no killing. There wasn't any of that going on in the land. It was a perfect harmony and all that until Eve looked at that tree and she saw it's good for fruit and desired it. And the devil tempted her and deceived her. But saying this, verse number 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Thou shalt not. I want you to know that the Bible has something to say about thou shalt not. It says thou shalt, but also says thou shalt not. Somebody said, preacher, sometimes you preach a negative. Hey, if you got a positive, you got to have a negative. Your battery won't even work on just positive. It has to have a negative on it, amen? And the word of God has some thou shalt nots. He said, now I put you here, and you can eat of all these things. Had all that to eat. I'm sure there's everything, delicious fruit there, everything they needed and could want. Well, they wanted something else, but that's because the devil deceived her. And that's how sin works. You see it, and then you desire it, and then you partake of it. That's why you need to run from the first time you see it. And it begins to be a desire in your heart, and you know it's wrong. Run. That's what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife was trying to get him there in Potiphar's house. I'm sure that it was a temptation, that young man. I'm sure that it bothered him. But you know what he did? He ran. I say tonight, thank God it's good to run sometimes from sin. Amen. And get a pure separation from that. Because God doesn't want us messing around that we're going to get us in trouble. And God told him what not to do. And Eve knew what God had said. Adam knew what God had said. But here is that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it. And so all they had to do was eat of everything else. Tree of life was there, which they could have taken and lived forever. Aren't you glad they didn't partake of the tree of life? You say, preacher, why that, what was wrong with that? If they partook of that after they had sinned, then they lived in a sinful body forever and had pain and agony and all that. I'm glad, praise God, they didn't take of that. Because God said, let us take them from the garden, else they take of the tree of life and live forever. And what he was saying was, they live in a depraved body, depraved human beings, have sin and corruption. And I'm glad to see, dying is not just going to the grave. Dying is being separated from God. And dying is being away from God. And they would have had that. But I'm saying to you tonight, I hope you follow me on that. I don't want to lose you somewhere and think I said something I didn't say. I'm telling you, they had the privilege there to eat of all the tree. God gave it to them. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they partook of it. And no use of me standing up here saying I know exactly what that was. I knew exactly what. I don't know. I just know one thing. God said, thou shalt not. And they should not have, but they did. And man sinned and plunged the world into sin. Notice what he said in verse 17 again. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now here God had made a provision. He made a prohibiting to them. He also put a penalty of disobedience, and he gave it to them in very plain language. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. When Eve ate of that tree, and she gave to Adam, now Adam wasn't deceived, Eve was. Adam knew what he was doing. Adam knew what he was getting into, but he did it anyway because of his love for Eve. And he took of that fruit and they ate it together. And there they were, disobeying God. And then that day they died. They died. You say, but preacher, they lived on and had children. That's right. But they died that day immediately. They died spiritually. They became, amen. They got separated from God when God came in the cool of the day and wanted to fellowship with them. They hid themselves. And by the way, let's just look at that real quickly. In chapter number 3, and let's look at verse number 7. I want to get that first. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now I want you to hang on that thought. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Now I want to say something to you right here. How come they covered their nakedness with the fig leaves? How come they made their aprons? And yet when God came, they were afraid. How come they were getting run out there and say, here we are, let's worship, let's have fellowship? Because they had disobeyed God, wasn't done God's way. And look at it now in verse number 9. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now listen to what he said in answer to this. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I would deny it that people hear the voice of God. Unsaved, hear the voice of God. He's saying to you, you need to get saved. You need to be born in the family of God. Lost and going to hell without God. He's saying you've disobeyed God. He said, well, Adam and Eve, they did that and I can't help what they did. No, but you can help what you do. And God made a way for you, and I'll get to that later, but I'm telling you. Here, Adam said, I heard thy voice. In the garden, I was afraid. He'd never been afraid before. He'd never been afraid of God before, but now he's afraid. Hey, sin will do something to you. Sin will mess you up, make you afraid of God. And he couldn't go out in fellowship. He couldn't have that touch of God on him. And notice what he said. I was afraid because I was naked. Back up in verse number 8. Verse number 7, they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. After they realized they were naked, they tried with their own hands to do something to cover their nakedness. They were trying to do something to help themselves. That proves that man cannot help himself. Man can't save himself. Man's good works doesn't mean anything to God. You can sew all the fig leaves you want to. You can make an effort to do better you want to. You can do whatever you want to do, but it'll not help you any unless you come God's way. Let God help you. God's first words to man was, here you have everything. Here you can eat up, do this, and you'll live. But when you disobey, you'll die. Here God comes in the cool of the day. Here they hear the voice and get afraid. And then because I was naked and I hid myself. Man tries to hide from God. Man tries to get away from God. But I want to tell you tonight very emphatically, you cannot hide from God. You may run, but you can't hide. You may try to cover it up. You may try to blame somebody else. They even tried that. Adam said, the woman you gave me, even God's fault. The woman you gave me, she gave to me. And then the woman said, well, the serpent, he deceived me. And then the serpent, he didn't have an angel called. They all were guilty. And here they come in the cool of the day. And God said, when he called for them, they heard. I would people would hear tonight the voice of God. I would tonight people would hear God calling them. Because if they don't, they're going to be lost and go to hell and forever. But Adam heard. And when he heard, he was afraid. But then he began to confess up and said, I'm naked. And he realized the fact his fig leaves wasn't doing the job. He began to confess up to God that he was in a mess. And I'm glad God had mercy on him, amen. I'm glad God had. And he said, I hid myself. I tried to get away from you, God, but I couldn't. God, when he said, where art thou? He wasn't trying to find out where Adam was. He knew where he was. He wanted Adam to find out where he was so Adam could get right with God. I say to you tonight, now where are you with God? You hiding, trying to hide from God? Trying to hide behind church membership? Trying to hide behind just doing better? Trying just to hide behind something that you're trying to work out yourself? Or are you hid in Christ Jesus, the blessed rock of ages? Thank God for that, amen. God's first words to man. And man's first words back to God was, I was afraid. He said, I heard thy voice. And I was afraid, and I hid myself. Man's first words. I say to you tonight, it'd be good if man tonight that's lost without God, and boy, girl, anybody here without Jesus Christ could hear the voice of God and say those words to God. I heard thy voice, and I'm afraid. Now I want you to save me. Amen. That's what Adam was. He didn't put in that kind of words, but he was confessing up and repenting. Undoubtedly was, because God had mercy on him and said, I was afraid. I hid myself, tried to hide. You can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. I want you to look at the last words. You say, preacher, you know you're getting to the last word. I am. I want you to turn with me, please, in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. God made the provision. God created them, made provision, did all that for them. They sinned. But thank God something happened. Chapter 22, verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Now this is God's last word to man, recorded in the Bible. It said he testified these things. Surely I come quickly. And then he amened himself. That word amen means so be it. So be it. It's right. That's good. Amen. That's why we say amen, church, because we said so be it, or that's good, that's right. And amen. And God said the last words to man is, behold, I come quickly. That word quickly, we can take it to mean suddenly, or it can mean not too far off. I say tonight, we can preach both. He's going to come suddenly. All of a sudden it's going to happen. I don't believe it's very far off. I believe he's coming back, Brother Ben. And he shall soon come and get us and take us out of this world, and we'll head home for glory. Hallelujah and amen and amen. And so I like these last words. He said, behold, I come quickly. Amen. He's saying, he'd given John all this in Revelation, revealed Jesus Christ in the first chapter, and here's Jesus in the end chapter. And he's saying to him, I come quickly. And I say to you, God's last word to us is, I'm coming quickly. I say to you tonight, are you ready for his coming? He's coming. And we're going to get out of here, get a new body like he is, and go home, be with Jesus. And I say hallelujah for that. But let me show you something here. And the last word man said back to God was, even so, come Lord Jesus. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I say hallelujah. You know what happened to John here? He'd been in the book of, God had given him the book of Revelation. He saw the church age, and then he saw the rapture. Then he saw the tribulation. He'd seen all the horrors and sorrows. You think the day's bad. You think the TV's bad today. You think billboards are bad today. You think all the corruption going on is bad today. You wait till the salt's gone out of here. You wait till the church leaves out. You wait till Jesus comes back and the church is not here and all evil breaks loose. And I don't even want to think about it. It's so bad now it makes me sick at my stomach almost. But in that day, you talk about homosexuality and ungodliness and filth and dirt and sin on every hand and people living ungodly and all kinds of stuff and the Antichrist denying God, declaring himself to be God and everything breaking loose all over the world. Hey, the church is the only thing that's holding it together tonight. The Holy Spirit living within the church, which is in us, he's the only thing holding it together. He said he will let until he come and until the Antichrist comes on. Only he who will let until he come. Hey, the Holy Spirit's the only one's holding it together now. But you wait, Brother Ronnie, until he's gone, and then it'll be a mess sure enough. Bad enough now, but oh, how bad it's going to be. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. And John had been writing this down. I believe here when Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, I believe John's mind run real back real quickly to chapter 4. And John said, I saw a door open in heaven, heard a voice of thunder saying, I come up hither. I believe you heard that. I believe you looked back at Jesus and said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Even so, come quickly. He realized what's coming down the road. He knew what Jesus had given to him. He knew what he'd seen. He knew what God had said. He said, come quickly. Now, you say, preacher, I thought you threw. No, no. Hey, something happened between Genesis and Revelation 22. Hey, something took place here we need to see and look at. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter number 3. We're talking about first words, last word. Now, first in the Bible study, first principle of that mention of something is important because you find the context of what it's mentioned for and what it's given to and so forth. But here we find first and last words of God to man, man to God. First time it was, man said, God said, you'll surely die. The man said, I'm afraid, I'm going to hide. I don't know what to do. In the end, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. And man saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. What changed the attitude? Can you see that the attitude changed so much? Can you see the picture different? Can't you see the very difference of here Adam and Eve trembling before God and they needing something over here shouting, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Wasn't hiding, wasn't running. Just saying, come. What happened? Genesis chapter 3, verse number 21. And Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Hallelujah. The difference is God made a way. God made a way from Genesis to Revelation. He made a way. When God clothed them, they had to be bloodshed. You don't get skins off of animals without you shed some blood. And there was blood shed. You remember when Cain brought his offering to the ground? God wouldn't accept him. But when Abel brought his lamb, God took it because there was blood shed. Hallelujah. It's a bloodline through Genesis, through Revelation. It's a bloody gospel, but hallelujah. I'm glad there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see that God takes, I don't know where the lamb, sheep, what it was, but he took it, made coats. And by the way, he said made him coats, didn't make aprons. Yeah. I just thought I'd plug that in while I run by it too. Hey, something wrong with us today when we can't see the difference in what God said and what America and all the world's trying to do. And act like there's nothing wrong with it. God clothed them. He clothed them well. Now, I know I'm talking spiritually, but I thought a little physical in there while I was at it. Because he made them coats. Coat, did you know coats usually cover you all over? Now, you might have a short coat. I'm about better change that. But anyway, he covered them, amen. And blood was shed and made a way for them so they can meet God. I believe they wore their coats of skin. That blood had been shed. Abel made his sacrifice. Cain didn't. You know the story. But all through the Bible, you'll find sacrifice of lambs, sacrifice blood shed, bloodshed, bloodshed. Take it in the holies of holies. Take it and give it on the altar and all that. But when Jesus Christ came into the world, he went to the cross of Calvary, and there he shed his blood for our sin, took our place, thank God. And that blood, I don't believe it was spilled either, amen. He shed his blood. Nobody took it from him. He gave it of his own free will. They didn't have to wrestle him down and get him nailed to the cross. I believe he laid down, laid out one arm, laid out the other, and said, nail her down. May not have said those words, but he's saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And they hung him up and crucified him, but he willingly shed his blood. Why, he could have spoken the word and the world would have disappeared. Everything would have left. Wouldn't been any soldiers. Wouldn't been anything left. And he could have lived, but he died for our sin, paid our price. That blood was shed, but I don't believe it was lost. You say, well, how did God get it? God that could take a dust to the ground and make a man. God that could say, let there be, and there be millions of stars, and the moon, and the sun, and the earth. God can do all that. He could pick up some blood somewhere. And he did that, and I believe Jesus. You remember Jesus said one time, touch me not. I've not yet ascended to my Father and my God and your God. But later he said, touch me and feel me and handle me. Somewhere in between there, Brother Ben, he made a trip to glory as a high priest, walked in the holies of holies, said, Father, here's the blood, laid it on the altar, and thank God it's there forever and forever. And that blood has never lost its power, and there's never been a drop of it lost. It was all shed for our sin. I say hallelujah for that bridge from Genesis to Revelation. It was built by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're saved. Bring back the new. Bring back the new. Who art thou? In the end, come quickly. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. What a contrast. I was afraid and I hid. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. What would you say tonight? I'm afraid. You try to hide. You can come to Jesus and get saved. How about it? How about your life? Bring back the new. Have you lost that joy? I'm glad, praise God, God can restore the joy. What do you need tonight? You let God help you. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for thy precious word. And I pray tonight, God, speak to our hearts, deal with our lives. Those that know not Jesus, and somehow tonight, Lord, you're tugging my heart. Somebody needs to be saved, and I pray you speak to them, deal with them, draw them by your power and help them in Jesus' name. Father, help that person that needs to rededicate their life, or that one that needs some help, that one that needs to come and pray, whatever the need is. I pray you will be done in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand, please. Let me say this tonight. You say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I don't know what to do. If you just come to Jesus, Jesus said, come unto me. All you labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you'll come and bow an old-fashioned altar, if you need help, get my attention. Somebody take a Bible and pray with you and help you. Oh, tonight, what a good night it is to be saved and get right with God. Wherever your need is, you need that new brought back in your life. Just think where God, what God's done for you. You don't have to run and hide. You can run to him, let him help you. While we sing, Brother Tim.
Bless me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling,
will you come?
Do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Just a minute, we're going to sing another verse of that song. Savior, do not pass me by. He won't pass you by if you'll listen. Let him have his way, speaking to your heart and dealing with your life. It's a good time to step out and come. I'm not going to just prolong it, and I'm not going to just keep begging you, but as long as I feel like God's in it, we want to continue asking you. Somebody may be here tonight, if they don't get saved, maybe their last opportunity. I'm afraid sometimes we stand in the invitation thinking, well, it'll soon be over and we get to go do this, do that. What we really need is God's presence working in hearts and lives. Precious folk that I care about, I want you to know, I may know some of you, some of you may not know, but you knew God speaking to your heart. Why don't you come while we sing?
Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition.
Savior,
hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I wonder if there's anybody in this house that would